I'm afraid I'm going to delve into the murky area of elephants and politics. And currently in Botswana, which has the largest elephant population of any country in the world, politics is the elephant in the room as far as the survival of Botswana's elephants are concerned. And I will take you through and try and explain why that's the case. This is the president of Botswana, President Masisi. He's been in office for just over a year. Of all dates, he took power on the 1st of April last year, and he succeeded Ian Khama, who was the son of Sir Seretse Khama, the first independent president of Botswana. And he was also the former head of the armed forces. Anyway, Masisi has followed a very different policy to Ian Khama as concerns conservation and particularly elephants. Between 1966 and 2014, there was legal regulated hunting in Botswana. And during that period, Botswana's elephant population expanded massively. I went there in 1993 when I was an editor and reporter, documentary maker at the BBC World Service, and I made a documentary programme on elephants because there was a huge row following the CITES ban in 1989 on the export of ivory. And Botswana, among all the rest of the southern African countries, still wanted the legal right to export ivory from both legal hunting, natural mortality, and ivory seized from poachers. And between 93, when I went there and I saw the great and the good of the country in the wildlife sector and in politics, and met local people who discussed it with me, the elephant population was around about 50 to 60,000 then in Botswana. Though it is not, a stable number, because the elephants move over a wide area in and out of Botswana. And at times it goes way up, and at other times it drops down. But 60,000 then. In 2014, when the hunting ban was introduced, there were in the region of 160,000 elephants there. So in that period, the existence of regulated hunting had not prevented the massive increase in the number of elephants. And it can be argued that the existence of regulated hunting that brought in income for local communities actually was part of the conservation process that enabled Botswana, and Namibia, for example, has also seen a huge increase in its elephant numbers from a much lower level to a still lower level, from about 6,000 in 1990 to about 24,000 now. The southern African countries have seen those increases. East African countries on the whole haven't. Kenya, its numbers are going up again, but they've fell dramatically. In fact, Kenyan wildlife as a whole, over the last 20 years, and certainly since the 1977 hunting ban, Kenyan wildlife numbers have fallen by 80%. And that is in a country that has no legal hunting. So this is part of the context. And Ian Khama was personally very committed to banning hunting. For a couple of reasons. I think he genuinely believed it was wrong, but he did also have major shareholdings in ecotourism companies, as did a very well-known couple of filmmakers, South African filmmakers based in Botswana, called the Joubert's, who make films particularly about lions that, shall we say, the photography is fantastic, the storytelling is imaginative. I've studied them in detail, and in four different documentaries they've made, they've used the same particularly horrific clip of a male lion being killed by other male lions to tell four different, totally different stories. So they and Khama and various of their allies have huge investments in one of the biggest safari companies there, Wilderness Safaris, and they believed that having hunting concessions next to their safari areas were damaging their safari interests, because one of the biggest pulls of tourists going to Botswana are elephants. Because you will see elephants. If you go to the Okavango, you go to Chobe in the north, Linyanti, Savuti, you will see elephants almost like you can't see them anywhere else in the world, in huge numbers and every day. But Karma banned hunting, and since then, since 2014, the amount of poaching of elephants in Botswana has risen. Poaching was very low in Botswana for a number of reasons. There were hunting concessions. If you were, for example, one community I know well that I visited last year, north of Maun, a little village called Sankuyo, with the chief Timex Moalosi, he told me that when the hunting was allowed, every year he sold, or his community sold, the hunting quota to hunting companies and got $600,000. Now, for a small community of a few hundred families in arid northern Botswana, that is a large amount of money. When hunting was banned, they were told, well, you can lease your land for photographic safaris. Somebody came in, leased one small part of the land. Where did the money go? To the government land board, not to the community, and nothing came back to them. So the banning of hunting was controversial. Lots of small rural communities said they were impoverished by it. They also said that it increased human-elephant conflict. Not because the hunting had kept down elephant numbers. They probably shot maybe a couple of hundred elephants a year, which out of somewhere between 130 and 160,000 that are going to be in Botswana at any one time, is practically nothing. And even if it's large bulls, it does not dramatically affect the population balance, the gender balance, and they tend to be, the hunters want the big bulls with the big tusks, who are going to be pretty old. And therefore it takes older ones out and the younger males take over as the breeding males. But the way it affected human-elephant conflict is if you had, and I'll move on to this map here. If you look on here, the green areas are reserves or national parks where elephants, all wildlife, totally protected. No hunting, any killing of animals is counted as poaching. And the Botswana were pretty strict on dealing with that. The brown areas are concessions, and they are mainly controlled hunting concessions. And what you see in the north is that they're in and around the main protected areas, and they tended to act as buffers, particularly on the eastern side going towards Zimbabwe there, between areas with large numbers of elephants and other wildlife and farming areas. People running hunting concessions would have boreholes working, pumping out water. So elephants, particularly in the dry season, would spread out if there wasn't water easily available in areas they were already in to look for water. And so they would go into the hunting concessions to access the water from the boreholes. And they wouldn't then move further through into the farming areas because the boreholes supplied their water. When the hunting concessions were closed down, the boreholes closed down. And elephants spread out. And at one stage, when I first went to Botswana in 93, you never got elephants down in the Central Kalahari Game Reserve, the big chunk of green in the middle. I've been there 5 times since 2006. No sign of elephants there in 2006. 2015, and again last year, there are now elephants that have migrated down looking for food, looking for water, because the areas they were in are rather overcrowded. To go back a little, talking about the number of elephants there are in the whole region. Botswana is part of a region known as Khaza in conservation terms, the Kavango-Zambezi transfrontier area. This crosses Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, Namibia and Angola. There are between, and there's a big margin for error here, about 204,000 and 240,000 elephants in that whole area. It's hard to count them and get it, and this is why numbers go up and down and become controversial, because you do the counts generally from the air and you do transects. You'll go up a line there, move say 10, 20 miles over, down a line there. You obviously cannot do, because the resources aren't there, the whole of the Khaza region within a short space of time. And elephants will move, and they will move over huge areas. So this is the map of the Khaza area. So you have Botswana in the south here. Botswana goes right up to there. That's the border with the Caprivi Strip and Namibia. And you've got Zambia there, Angola there, Zimbabwe there, and Namibia there. There are huge numbers of elephants, and they particularly move between northern Botswana, northwest Zimbabwe, and the Caprivi Strip. They don't often move now into Zambia or Angola, because whereas Botswana on the whole has stamped out poaching, there is still poaching, and it's on the rise again at the moment for all sorts of reasons. But it is not serious. It is a very, very minor level and does not affect overall elephant numbers. But Zambia, the park here, Sione Rungwezi, down in the south, just there, used to have well over 1,000 elephants. It now has about 35. They don't stay there because they are poached. Poaching is very serious there. And the poachers are mainly Zambians. And they either get the ivory out through the Zambian airway system, take it to Lusaka and fly it out, bribe people in the customs, bribe people in the airlines, or it goes to the border town just inside Namibia called Katima Mulilo, which is a well-known smuggling hotspot and has an increasingly large Chinese timber company presence, and where there are Chinese timber companies, road companies, poaching increases, because China is now the major market. And you can easily vilify China for this, but we used to be the major market, and another stage of the United States was, another stage India was. There is still a big illegal ivory market in the States. A colleague and friend of mine, Dan Stiles, who's based in Kenya, has done studies of this, and the amount of ivory on sale in the United States is still quite staggering when you read it, because everyone thinks, oh, it's only the awful Chinese. No, lots of people still will buy ivory. This Khaza area, and you can tell how far elephants will migrate, because they have tracked elephants. They have a radio-collared elephant that was tracked from Chobe there, and I can't reach because I'm too small, right up to Kafue in Zambia, which is, you know, getting right up to the top of the Khaza area there. I think it's over 1,000 miles, and this elephant moved up there and then moved back, and they migrate. And so you do have this problem of trying to identify how many. And so you get massive variations. I went to Botswana in 2013 and interviewed the head of wildlife censuses in the Department of Wildlife and National Parks. He told me, and he gave me a copy of their animal census report, in that year, in the dry season, there were 207,000 elephants in Botswana, with a possible maximum of 212,000. The next year, not at the height of the dry season, this had gone down to 156,000. And he said that didn't mean that 51,000 elephants had been poached in that year, it means outside the dry season, they'd moved out. Because in the dry season, it's easier to count them because they are near water or moving between sources of water. Outside the dry season, they disperse widely because water will be available from pans that dry out during the dry season, from seasonal rivers and things like that. 2014 survey went down again, but again, a big margin for error. And the most recent ones say it could be 130,000, but the most reliable source, the African Elephant Status Report produced by the IUCN, puts Khaza between these numbers going up to 240,000 and Botswana's possibly up to 144,000. But at the same time, as I mentioned, Namibia's have gone up as well. Zimbabwe, despite cyanide poisoning of elephants to get their tusks in Hwange National Park, their numbers have gone up. South Africa's numbers have gone up, although they're not part of Khaza. The only ones where that aren't going up within the Khaza region are Zambia, because of the poaching in the south, and Angola, because, and Prince Harry actually made a very good speech at Chatham House this week about it, landmines.